Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Today, in the first of two shows on questions facing Anchorage voters, we're hosting a discussion on Proposition 1, which would change who can use single-gender bathrooms and locker rooms in Anchorage. Next week, we'll be talking about the proposed sale of Municipal Light and Power. So Proposition 1, it was added to the local ballot by petition initiative after the Anchorage Assembly passed an ordinance for equal rights for LGBT people in 2015. That ordinance says transgender individuals can use the gendered bathroom or locker room that matches their gender identity. Proposition 1 would change that, saying that gendered bathrooms are only for those whose birth certificate matches the gender of the bathroom. So we have a good panel of two advocates with us today, and we're going to be welcoming your calls. Kim Minery is with us. She's a sponsor of Proposition 1 and with the Protect Our Privacy campaign. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
And Pastor Martin Eldred, he's the pastor of Joy Lutheran Church, and he's here today representing the Fair Anchorage campaign. Thanks for being with us, Pastor Eldred.
Thank you.
We have another goal besides exploring the issue today, and that is we're going to try to have a truly civil discussion on a tough topic that raises some really strong emotions. To that end, I'm going to give you some ground rules, and these are rules I'm going to apply to my guests as well as to callers. So first of all, as a moderator, I'm going to try to remain completely neutral while enforcing the ground rules and keeping time for each speaker roughly equal. Also, I've obviously expressed my views on Proposition 1 as a columnist and elsewhere in the community and on related issues lots of times, and I'm going to try to make those opinions completely invisible this hour. If you think I'm showing any bias, please call or send an email and we'll discuss that topic. My goal is just to be a disinterested moderator here. I'm going to ask guests and callers to stick to the topic at hand, which is reasons to vote for or against Proposition 1. And guests and callers, we're not going to criticize any individual or his or her motivations. We're not going to criticize groups or make negative generalizations about them or their behavior. So those are our ground rules. I've already got a few emails from listeners and want to hear your questions and your opinions about our topic at hand. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, the number is 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. Well, just to get the ball rolling here, I just want to ask the most general basic question of my two guests, Kim Minery and Martin Eldred. What's the most recent important reason for your position on Proposition 1? Kim, you were a sponsor, so you had a reason for bringing this forward. Why did you bring it forward?
True. Well, first, without being too gratuitous, I want to thank you for those ground rules. I hope we can abide by them.
Absolutely.
Certainly, I know it's my intention and Pastor Martin's, I'm sure, because I think if we lose the ability to tackle difficult things, we lose our very essence of what it means to live in a free society. So I personally believe in that very much, and so I thank you for sponsoring this time. My most simple answer for why this is important and why I'm doing this is that I think that we can do better. I think that Anchorage can do better than what AO96 put forth. And to that end, I will remind your listeners and speak very factually about the fact that there were 18 different exemptions that were put forward to the Assembly in September of 15. I think it was fall of 15. I don't know the exact month, actually. But so, you know, we have a diverse community. We have different religions. We have different beliefs on sexuality. We have all kinds of different viewpoints, and that's good. That's pluralism, and I think we are basically a very tolerant city. So the religious exemptions that were put forward, there were 18 different ones, and they were designed to give faith-based groups, people with more traditional viewpoints on sexuality, such as a church-run school, the ability to designate their own locker rooms and bathrooms in the way they saw fit. Every exemption, all 18, were struck down. So I wrecked my summer last summer running around getting signatures, and it wasn't anything I wanted to do. It wasn't very much fun. But I think we can do better, and I think Anchorage can accommodate every type of person that is here. And that's why I'm putting forth this effort to get Prop 1 on the ballot. I think we need more freedom and more choice and not a one-size-fits-all locker room and bathroom policy.
All right. So that was Kim Minery. It's a sponsor of Proposition 1. Now I'd like to turn to Pastor Martin Eldred, who's taking the con position on Proposition 1. Pastor Martin, what's your view on this, and what's your most important reason for opposing it?
Yes, Charles, and also let me thank you for this opportunity, and I affirm the idea of talking with civility and openness and disagreement at times. You know, I've lived in Anchorage for a lot of years, a long time, and what I know about Anchorage and Eagle River is that we're good people. We care about our neighbors, our coworkers, and we don't believe in discrimination. That's not who we are. And Prop 1 is a thinly veiled attempt to demonize our transgendered neighbors. And so it's being held up as a safety issue. And but there's only one group that will be unsafe in that, and that is our transgender neighbors. Transgender people live their lives, all of who they are, in their gender identity. They can't change that, and they don't need to change that, and they just want to use the bathroom, and they want to use public facilities, and they want to be left alone. And it would make this community very unsafe for them. And it's not a value we hold dear in our community. We already have protections against violence and incivility in the bathrooms. And we already have those in place. And so Anchorage is a welcoming, affirming, supportive city. And as a person of faith, I follow a God that says to love my neighbor, to respect them, to protect them, and to respect them as a child of God. And that's why I'm here, is that I want to respect my friends, my neighbors, the people I worship with and the people I do business with that happen to be transgender, men or women, so that they can find a place in Anchorage where they can live in peace.
All right. So let me turn back to Kim Minery. So the belief that this is a discriminatory proposal, or it would discriminate against transgender folks. How do you respond to that sense that it's, or that belief that it's discriminating against a particular group?
Yeah, I hear that all the time. I find that a very unfortunate characterization, especially the thinly veiled, as if it's our intent to discriminate, or that that's what motivated us to get signatures, or that we're hiding behind, you know, religion or traditional belief about male and female. Nothing could be further from the truth. I guess when I heard you say, Pastor Eldred, you know, respect and protect our neighbor, you know, that's exactly what I would say as well. And my question for all of us is, what about the rights and what about the protection and the respect that people in the locker room that have to take their clothes off and feel a sense of unease? It's not all about violence. I think mm-hmm. that's a big part of the conversation that is put out there that's false. I don't think it's about assault and violence as much as it's about unease, embarrassment, feeling perhaps insecure. But when you take your clothes off in a locker room or in a shower room or a changing room, bathrooms to less extent. We've focused a lot on bathrooms, but I think it's both. But certainly in a place where you're in a state of undress, I think the actual ballot language is intimate spaces. That's what the ballot language is. Everybody has a right to feel private. And so I think it's important to come up with solutions that accommodate transgendered people, but don't take away the rights or the privacy of others that might feel intimidated when a biological man is in a women's locker room.
Let me turn that back to Pastor Martin. And how do you respond to a woman who says, I don't want to be in a locker room with someone who's not, you know, born or originally right. a woman? And I asked her to respond to your concern about right. about discrimination. I mean, that's sort of a fundamental concern of the other side.
And I completely understand that. We want to be comfortable and we want to be feeling safe where we are. Ironically, there are people in this community that are transgender men, transgender women who express themselves daily in ways that stereotypically we would identify as men and women. I have friends that are transgender men that look way more masculine than I do in any stereotypical way. And yet this proposition would bring them back into Kim's dressing room or her locker room or her bathroom. And you would feel uncomfortable. They have beards. They have deeper voices than I do. They're taller than I. I mean, you see, it becomes a subjective thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then who decides what is my problem? And so we already have statutes in place to keep people safe. And this proposition only exasperates a problem that really isn't there.
All right. We've got a lot of callers and a lot of emails, and we're going to work our way through those. I just want to remind folks that it's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Walforth. My guests are Kim Minery speaking in favor of Proposition 1 and Pastor Martin Eldred speaking in opposition to Proposition 1. Our topic today is Proposition 1, and we're really going to try to have a civil dialogue on this topic. Should you vote it for it or against it without negatively characterizing the people who support it or the people who are against it? So that's our goal, and see how we can do. Right now, I'd like to go to Chris, who's calling from Anchorage. Chris?
Hi, yes, thank you. So my question is, Proposition 1 is similar to HB2, a discriminatory bill in North Carolina targeting transgender people. What kind of warning should North Carolina send to Anchorage as we consider Proposition 1?
So, and I'm sure everybody followed that news. They ended up repealing it because there was a big economic boycott. Let me turn to you first, Kim Minery. Do you fear an economic boycott or something like that happening in Anchorage?
No. In fact, Texas, very progressive Houston, passed a similar ordinance. And if you look at economic indices, Texas is at the very top of the state. So whether that's coincidental or correlated in any way, I have no idea, but it would be false to put out the idea that because you pass a privacy bathroom bill, as they're known, that you have any. I mean, yes, there's the corporate freak out for a week, and there's the Bruce Springsteens for a week, and then things die down. And Texas, specifically Houston, has a robust economy, and after passing Prop 1 type law, has, come roaring back and is at the top of the list. So I think it's a lot of hype. I don't, and I guess I would object to, or at least ask for a more open mind from you, Chris, that I know in your view it is discriminatory. A lot of women feel nervous about an open bathroom and open locker room policy, and it's not our intent. We're not afraid of transgendered. We're not afraid, and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We think there's better alternatives. And so I would just ask you to hit the pause button a little bit before you label this a discriminatory bill and ask you to have a somewhat more open mind, please.
All right. Pastor Martin, do you think that there's a reasonable fear of something happening here, like happened in South Carolina with economic boycotts and so forth?
North Carolina.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, North Carolina.
No problem. Yes, and I would definitely think this is a discriminatory bill. It is a repeal of an anti-discriminatory amendment that we put on the municipality in 2015. It's a repeal, a ruling back of people's rights. And Proposition 5 would send us, or 1 rather, would send a signal to those who live, work, and want to visit here that we're not welcoming, that we're not accepting of other people. It would send a message to potential businesses, employers, and their families that we don't like diversity here. I think it's telling that the Anchorage community, the business community, is lined up against this. The Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Corporation, the Visit Anchorage Group. They just had a news event today because they know this is devastating to our economy.
All right, thank you. Let's now go to Rishika, who is calling with a question. Rishika?
Yeah, thank you. My name is Rishika. I live here in Anchorage. My question is, safety advocates in Anchorage, like Standing Together Against Rape, STAR, have said clearly that removing protections for transgender people won't actually do anything to make women safer. It won't prevent sexual assault. It won't actually, help promote privacy for women and girls. So should we not follow the lead of experts who are working every day in Anchorage to keep us safe?
That sounds more like an opinion. I don't know if our panel either of you want to pick up on that. I mean, the safety issue, we talked about it a little bit.
I have one comment. I'll jump in and then mm-hmm. Martin, you can and jump in also. But I want to make it very plain that Prop 1 does not repeal AO 96 anti-discrimination measure when it comes to housing or employment. It does when Martin said it's repealing an anti-discrimination, that needs to be explored on a factual level. It is a very narrow repeal of only the intimate spaces and who has access to our intimate spaces. It does nothing to repeal the housing anti-discrimination. It does nothing to repeal the employment anti-discrimination. So I think voters need to be aware of what's true, and we need to be careful with how we speak. So I just wanted to address that.
I'm extremely careful how I speak. It is a repeal of someone's civil rights, my neighbor's civil rights. You can define it any way you want, but it's simply that.
So, I mean, factually, there was an ordinance that was passed, and this is repealing a portion of that ordinance.
A very specific small portion.
Still a repeal.
I've gotten several emails, and I've got a tremendous number of calls and emails, so we're not going to get through them by any means. I guess in terms of the screeners, you might, when you're giving me notes, give me a whether the caller is supporting or opposing the ordinance. That would be helpful, as I'm trying to balance them out.
Find one that's supporting. Maybe just one friend for me out there.
Well, we've only had two calls so far. So
okay.
You've got several questions about enforcement, and this has been a big discussion in the community, and some of them sort of saying, how would the bathrooms be patrolled? And this person talking about birth certificates and what if you're adopted and so forth. Kim, you were involved in creating this language. How do you envision the enforcement of this type of ordinance happening? What would happen out there in the public that would be different from what exists now?
Well, this is comical to me, in a sense. There's been a lot of to-do made about enforcement, and I think a lot of people have piled on here. But let me suggest two situations or two examples. Similar to a seatbelt law, we don't have seatbelt police. We don't have people with cameras in the car or running around to make sure you wear your seatbelt. It simply becomes an issue if there's a problem or if something is complained about. Another example would be indecent exposure. We don't put our cops on the street waiting and looking, oh, is there a naked man on 3rd Avenue? Is there a naked woman on 5th Avenue? No, those laws are on the books to give legal protection when a complaint is made. So in the same way, nothing's going to change. I mean, let's be a little honest. We don't have police in our bathrooms. We don't have birth certificate cops. That is a ridiculous suggestion. And so the only thing it does is give legal protection if there would be a situation where a biological man, since I'm a woman, I'm going that way, is in an intimate space that's making a woman uncomfortable. And obviously, a trans woman who looks completely like a woman, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to say anything. It's a non-issue. It's just when there would be an incident, there would be a law in place.
All right. Let me turn to Pastor Martin Eldred. Your response to that on the enforcement issue.
Yeah, and both APD and the school district have said there's no way they can do any enforcement, and we probably need to dial all that stuff down and be rational. I agree with that we're not going to have paper police there with looking for documents. We already have laws on the books that prevent nefarious activities in bathrooms. This is an unnecessary proposition. It's a proposition looking for a problem that doesn't exist.
All right. Well, there you have it. We've done already a third of our show is over talking about Proposition 1.
You're right. Time does fly.
Time flies, doesn't it? And my guests are Kim Minery in favor of the proposition and Pastor Martin Eldred, who's opposed. My name is Charles Wolforth. It's Hometown Alaska. We'll be back in a minute and with much more on this topic.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we are talking today about Proposition 1, which was, I think everybody in Anchorage probably knows by now, election is starting next week with mail-in ballots to vote on whether we should have a new regulation of how bathrooms and locker rooms are gendered in terms of whether a person whose identity matches the bathroom should be able to use that bathroom, or if it should be based on your biological or birth certificate gender. That's a pretty good summary of it, wouldn't you say? Was that close enough?
Sure. Yeah, it's okay. Not the way I would have said it, but sure, it's pretty good.
Just looking for a neutral way of saying it. Our guests are Kim Minery, who is a sponsor of Proposition 1, is with Protect Our Privacy, and Pastor Martin Eldred, who is with Joy Lutheran Church and is representing Fair Anchorage. I've received a number of emails on the topic of privacy and the notion of privacy within the Alaska Constitution. Our Constitution is fairly unique in that we have a provision, the right of people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. The legislature shall implement this section. And it struck me as I was reading these that this could kind of go both ways because Kim, you're talking about privacy in terms of as a woman, you want privacy to know that there isn't a man in the locker room. And I think that these emailers are talking about privacy in that the transgender person shouldn't have to reveal whether they are biologically one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Is that how you let me throw that one to you, Martin, and then let you both speak on the topic of privacy and how this might relate to the Alaska Constitution and the requirement of privacy. Whose privacy is on the line, or are we balancing two kinds of privacy here?
Thank you. I think we do have a right to privacy within as much as we can. And my transgender friends and neighbors, they just want to go to the bathroom. They just want to use the facilities and do their business and go away. They want to be left alone. They're telling me stories of being confronted and stories of being afraid to go into public facilities because of privacy issues, because of fear. And I hear that. And they just want to be left alone. And we as Alaskans have always had a live and let live kind of attitude. A little libertarian, as I've always said. And and I think we just want people to be who they are and don't touch me, I don't touch you, I don't bother you, you don't bother me. And that's all we're asking.
Kim, do you want to respond to the privacy issue and how you sort of see the Constitution interlocking with this?
Well, I actually found myself nodding in definite agreement with Pastor Martin. I mean, we do have a live and let live. I consider myself a libertarian-leaning conservative. I don't think that that what AO96 did, and this is where we'll probably have to agree to disagree, but I don't think it's a very libertarian-oriented ordinance. It bothers me because it's a one-size-fits-all. I mean, I feel like what I'm putting forward is live and let live, in that unless you're a municipal building, our proposition says very clearly that you can choose to have sex-specific bathrooms and locker rooms, or you can choose not to. So that's a very live and let live philosophy. And I hope that people read the language on the ballot. I have it here. It's very horrible sounding, as all ballot language is, but I can read it later if that's appropriate. But there is no mandate to have, you know, male only, biological male and biological female only locker rooms. We're saying if you are an Amish school, perhaps you have traditional viewpoints about your biological sex segregation, and maybe you want male, all male, and all female. And you know what? As an Amish school, you should have that right, that live and let live. AO96 does not allow that Amish school that choice. And I don't know if we're being honest about that. So that's my response to the live and let live. Heck yes. And that's what I'm putting forward in Prop 1, is that we should have, if you're a progressive business or if you're a progressive church, then cater to your patrons, cater to your clientele, do what suits you the best. But if there's a traditional, like Holy Rosary Academy, it's a conservative Catholic school, do you think they want boys allowed in, you know, and I know I'm saying that in that it's not the way you guys talk about it, but biological boys who may identify as girls, as a girl in the girls' locker room, they don't.
All right.
Should they have that choice?
Did you want to respond to that, Pastor?
Well, it's important to notice that churches are already exempt from this.
No, they're not.
So that, yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly, I was part of this.
Of the original ordinance.
And churches are exempt. There's nobody in my church telling me we are exempt from all sorts of civil rights things because of the First Amendment. I can hire who I want, I can do what I want, and I can say what I want. And anybody that tells you that's not true is disingenuous.
All right.
I think we'd have to get lawyers involved on that, okay, because the church leadership that I'm talking to and the lawyers that I talked to in putting this together, that was one of the most powerful. I mean,
all right. Well, that's a factual. We're not going to settle that because we don't have a lawyer. So let's move to another caller. Samuel is calling. Samuel?
Hi.
Thanks for waiting. I know you've been waiting for half an hour, but so has everyone else.
No worries. So my question is, I'm a transgender man. So that means I was born female and now I live as the man I've always known myself to be. I look and present like any other man in Anchorage. If Prop 1 passes, then I would be required to use the women's restroom. I would be bringing to life what everyone has been told to be scared about. That makes me very uncomfortable. And I'm imagining that having me in the bathroom would make a lot of women uncomfortable, too.
All right. That's a great point of view. I don't know if we need to respond to that, but I really appreciate your call and your comment. Thanks for calling in.
My question was, what did they think of that?
You were just asking our panelists' opinion of that sort of position that you're in. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to take that front first, Pastor?
Yes. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story, because that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that our caller identifies as a man. He displays himself as every day in his life as a man, and being in a woman's locker room or bathroom would be uncomfortable for everyone.
Right. Kim, did you want to respond to the caller?
If he presents as a man and looks like a man, I think using a man's bathroom is not going to raise any eyebrows or cause any undue harm to anyone. I would say for a locker room situation that perhaps we could have a private locker room or a way to accommodate you without violating the privacy of everyone else. So that's my response.
All right. I want to keep moving here. I do have an email from an individual. Says she couldn't get through on the phone lines. The phone lines are full. So if you can't get through on the phone line, send me an email and I'll get it here in the studio. And this person didn't express what her question was, so I can't pass that on to you. Let's go to another question. And this is Brianna. Brianna, did you have a question or a comment?
I do. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a trans woman. My name is Brianna. And Kim, I'm not sure if you're aware that during transition, passable phases are different for trans men and trans women. And as we're already bound by limitations of medical help, seeking professional help in this state, as well as in general, we are already struggling to be as passable as possible every day because it's our comfort level on that. Mm-hmm. My question to you is not that. I wanted to share that. My question to you is, why do we need a change of law for a change of way we do things for everybody's comfort? Why do you feel that we need to change the law if there is an issue of privacy within the bathroom or in a locker room? Then why not have those individuals move forward to have private stalls put in so everybody has that privacy? It is a public space that you're talking about, public locker rooms, public bathrooms. And if you're talking about in general on a business and you're concerned about that, how about we move to having those businesses place a sign outside? And I promise you, place a sign outside that says transgender people must use the gender they were born as restroom. You won't have a transgender one walk in there and nobody will have an issue. But what I'm saying is, why do we need a law to be changed to have personal privacy brought in?
Okay. Thanks for the question. Kim, did you understand the question?
I think so. There was a lot there. Mm-hmm. And first, let me just assert, I mean you no disrespect. I wish no harm or discomfort on you or anyone. I did not pass this law. I did not ignore all 18 exemptions that would have given more choice and more privacy and more freedom to nonprofits, to churches, to church-run schools, and to charities like privately run faith-based women's shelters, for example. So I did not create AO 96. I am responding to it. I am reacting to what I feel is a government overreach that does discriminate and hurt my rights and the rights of other females that are uncomfortable with an open door, all access to private intimate spaces. I think that single stalls is a beautiful solution. I think that, having coffee somewhere and there's two private bathrooms and there's a male and a female logo on both doors. So it's an either or. That's a logical solution. I don't think there's a one size fits all. I don't have any problem with what solution that you would say. Of course, I think it's stupid to have a sign, you know, oh, trans have to do this. I don't want to single anyone out. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable. I think we do need to live and let live, but we need to do better than just saying open door, open locker room for anybody based on your, you know, identity at that time. That doesn't leave protection for a lot of other people that might feel uncomfortable if someone who hadn't fully transitioned appeared in a female intimate space that was a biological
right,
man.
Right.
I hope I said that carefully, but I'm trying to be respectful, but also I think, doesn't everybody have rights? I mean,
I sense there may be an area of agreement in that having more bathrooms, which are essentially private and are, I don't know if co-ed's the right word, So where possible, that solves the problem. Pastor Eldred, I mean, is that something that you think is going to happen more of? And do you have any other comments in response to the caller's remarks?
Well, first of all, Brianna, thank you again for sharing your story and your courage for standing up for who you are and the way you were made. And I also would say I think we are going to see more single-use bathrooms to get over this, but that really doesn't address this issue, is whether we're talking about rolling back civil rights that we worked hard on, and the red herring of these religious exclusions is really that doesn't mean they were any good. Churches already have carve-outs. We already have protections in the First Amendments, and so I'm going to come back against that. That is not in the churches. And so I fought hard for that. We stood up for that. We, as the faith leaders that were part of AO 96, we stood up for the protections for the churches. So you can't say they're not there.
May I respond briefly?
Yeah, of course.
I wish that Bill Starr or Amy Domboski, the two conservative assembly people that were present on the assembly when AO 96 was passed, I wish they could somehow call in. I'm excited for you that you have tons of callers, but
I'd be excited for them to call in too.
They were there. They tried to, and correct me if I have the number wrong, but I have asked, 18 different exemptions were proposed. All 18 were struck down.
That doesn't mean they were any good.
Well,
there's a reason they were struck down, because they were poor.
But my point is that religious exemptions were offered. Maybe they were all horrible and lousy, but I don't know. Bill Starr's a pretty bright guy, and I think Amy is too. So I don't think they were completely junk.
I get that point, and I think we probably worked that one as much as we were going to be able to work it, because that was something that happened 2 years ago. And now the question is, do we vote for or against Proposition 1? And that's all that's facing the voters. I've had several calls and emails on the topic of the schools. Emailer points out that the Superintendent Dina Bishop has said the school district will not be treating transgender students differently if Proposition 1 passes. I know there are probably parents who may feel as Kim does about being concerned about their children being in the bathroom with someone of another that they perceive as another gender. The language gets so difficult with this. So I want to we'll go into a little bit of a segment on that topic. And I thought maybe we'd let this caller, Rose, weigh in on it, because she, are you a teacher, Rose?
Yes, I've been a public elementary school teacher for 15 years.
All right. Good. Did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, you just read my question, but I just...
Oh, I did. Okay.
that I've had gender nonconforming students, and I've also worked with transgender teachers. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to thank Superintendent Dina Bishop for saying that they will not treat students differently. And so I was just wondering, I know they already talked about enforcement, but if the schools aren't going to enforce it, if the police aren't going to enforce it, and if Ms. Minnery has even said that she intends on policing this based on looks, then why do we even have this if it's not going to be enforced?
Well, let me bring it back to the school issue, because I'm curious, and I don't know the answer to this, and maybe our panelists do. Would this ordinance apply to the schools? Kim, you're shaking your head.
It does not.
Okay. So answer that question. Great. We've had a number of questions on the topic of we've talked about sort of the practical effect, how our bathrooms use, the economics. Is there a boycott, or is there some impact on tourism? We've talked about those. What about sort of the symbolic effect, this ordinance would kind of say as a community? And I'm assuming, Kim, you kind of would like what it's going to say as a community, and Pastor Martin, you probably wouldn't like it. So let's take that, the symbolic impact of the ordinance. And I'll let you take that one first, Kim, if you want to, in terms of how you see what statement is being made if this passes.
Well, I know I'm not going to get any takers here on what my view is, but I firmly believe that there is a militant, more totalitarian way of looking at this, and then there is a more open way of looking. And we are not proposing a mandate, whereas AO 96, the current law, is mandating that you open up your locker room and bathroom doors to anybody. So I'm going to read it, because I know I'm not going to convince anybody here, but I'm going to read the language that's actually on the ballot. Except for the specific provisions applicable to municipal facilities under Anchorage Municipal Code, it shall not be unlawful for any employer, public accommodation, or any person to establish and enforce sex-specific standards or policies. So let me repeat that. It shall not be unlawful for any employer or other person to establish and enforce sex-specific standards. So it means you can do it or you cannot do it. In my understanding of the English language, that's freedom. And so I think symbolically, it's it's a good thing because we're embracing a more live and let live rather than a one-size-fits-all totalitarianism when it comes to where we get undressed.
All right. Thanks. And that was Kim Minry. And on the pro side, Pastor Martin Eldred on the anti-proposition one side. If this passes, what is the symbolic or the statement that voters are making in your view?
Yeah, I'm glad you used those words, militant versus open, Kim, because I think we have a wide collection of people that are open-minded, that this is a community that welcomes and affirms people in their diversity.
I agree.
We have Chamber of Commerce, business community, police department, school district, people left, right, and center saying, we don't want to be a place of discrimination. But there is a militant group that does, that wants to redefine what it means to have rights, that wants to roll back those rights for certain people they don't accept in this community. And that's what this is about. This would be devastating to our community. It would be devastating to our economic future. It would be devastating to our tourism future. It would be devastating to us as an all-American city not too long ago that is welcoming and open and embracing all sorts of people. That would be the change on Prop 1.
All right. Well, we are going to continue our discussion after a break. It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about Proposition 1, which has to do with the gender of bathrooms and locker rooms and who can use them. My guests are Kim Minry, who is a sponsor of Proposition 1, Pastor Martin Eldred, who is supporting the Fair Anchorage campaign in opposition to it. We'll be back for about another 15 minutes of the show after this break. Please stay with us on Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. We're talking about the issue of Proposition 1, which we'll be voting on very soon in Anchorage, which has to do with gender use of bathrooms. And I've got an email from a caller who's questioning my objectivity, and I asked you to do so at the beginning when I said that if you feel that I'm not being objective, please call me out on it. Judy says, you had not one email or caller that's supportive of Proposition 1 on your show today. Perhaps screening your calls would be more fair. And we are screening the calls. And they're all the calls that we've gotten have been in opposition. Judy, I would love to see your question. You said you were unable to get through on the line, but you can still send me an email, but you haven't sent me what the question is that you want me to ask. So please send me that question, and I will definitely ask it unless we're out of time at that point. So many folks here to call upon, and it's this is a fresh topic that we haven't heard from, if I'm understanding what Dana's calling about. Dana, did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I'm opposed to Prop 1, and my question is, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and big businesses like BP and ConocoPhillips oppose Prop 1. They worry it will damage Anchorage's economy. Shouldn't we trust business leaders when they warn us about the economic dangers of this initiative?
You're concerned about the economic impact, and I think we've kind of addressed that. That Kim Minery, who was here earlier, and I'll just summarize it. Some places have had economic impact and some don't, and you feel like that's been a little overblown. Would that be a good summary of your reaction on that, Kim?
Well, yeah, I would just point people to the empirical economic data that's available for North Carolina and for Texas. They both had some similar laws passed. I know HB2 was modified and then passed, but they're both states that are at the top of the economic pack in terms of their tourism and growth. So I think it's overblown. I think it's hype. I think a lot of people are afraid to come out. I've been called names. I'm obviously being vilified on this program as somewhat of an anti-transgender person. I'm a thinly veiled discriminator. I'm a bigot. And so people don't like being called those names. And there's a lot of people that have reached out to us, parents, small business owners, youth pastors, a man that goes to the YMCA that tried to, respond when something happened. People are afraid because they don't want to be called names. They don't want to be called bigots. They don't want to be called haters. So I don't know if every business person is against this. I think that is not the case.
Okay. I mean, I'm surprised to hear you think that definitely there are folks who have said that they felt the ordinance was discriminatory, but I haven't heard anyone call you a bigot. And I understand.
Well, that's just online. I mean, just all the hate mail that we get.
I see, but not on the show today.
Oh, No. I'm sorry. Good. I didn't mean to imply
that. Got you. And I think, Pastor, if you want to respond to that economic question again, I think you responded to it earlier. But we would also like to get some more topics.
So. I'm in no way a business person. Mm-hmm. I'm not didn't go to economic school or anything, but I do trust the conservative fiscal minds and voices that do that stuff. They're not prone to the sky is falling kind of things. They're pretty measured people. And when they have concerns like this, it's like the old E.F. Hutton ads that some of us of a certain age remember, I listen.
All right. So here's a question from Judy. Pastor Eldridge. I'd like to ask the Reverend if he's aware that the people passed in 2012 a much more restrictive law, and this was overturned by 9 assembly people. Civil rights law also does not have sexual orientation or transgender as a protective class. I mean, it didn't until this past law, as I understand it, until 15 they did put that in.
Yes. Yeah.
That being said, she would like to ask what you would say to a South Anchorage high school girl who's extremely uncomfortable with a trans boy who's coming into the girls' locker room to undress. This has been happening since last year. Many of the girls have chosen to just not dress in the locker room. Do their feelings not matter? So there's kind of two questions in here. One is the people already spoke in 2012 and said they didn't want that kind of ordinance. And the other is sort of her concern about this girl at South High. Maybe you could take both of those.
Yeah, and I feel that concern. And we talk a lot about transition when we talk about transgender, but I think our society is also in transition. And we're going to take some time learning how to get along with one another. And yes, there's going to be some uncomfortability in that because some of our more, traditional things that we've been taught are in flux. And so, yeah, that might mean some teachers and some counselors to do some conversations with students and see how we can get along together.
All right. Kim, did you want to respond to that?
Oh, there's a lot there. I guess, I hear Pastor Eldred saying kind of that we need to just evolve on this and kind of get over it.
I didn't say get over it.
Well, okay, you're right. That was my...
Thank you.
But we need to involve traditional people. And at the risk of sounding very obvious or stupid, maybe the biological differences between the male body and the female body are real. They're scientific and they're real. And so I don't know that it's as easy to deal with this discomfort as you might like it to be. And I think it's important to ask, doesn't everybody deserve to feel comfortable? And the conversation here with those on the anti-Prop 1 side seems to not give as much value to the people that feel uncomfortable if there is a person who has the opposite sex characteristics, who is a biologically different person who is in their dressing room. And I think that's not fair.
Let me just, and I'm not sure if you really addressed this, Pastor Martin, and maybe you did, and I'm trying to track so much information, I could have missed it. But There was a vote on this where the public voted it down, and then the assembly essentially overrode that vote a few years later. Is that something we should be concerned about, that the public sort of already spoke out on this? Or I guess we're voting on it again. What's your thought on that part of Judy's question?
Yeah, I think that's the way our government works. You know, in the South, we had 60 years ago, we had laws that were voted on. They were overturned by the Supreme Court. You could say, well, these nine men at that time changed the rule of democracy. Well, yes, they did. And so sometimes the rule of the people is incorrect and unfair, and separate but equal was never a good thing. And so sometimes there is progression.
All right.
May I respond to that?
I understand. Sure.
I understand what you're trying to say, but I want to reject a couple of things. One, point out that it was Southern Democrats that were in favor of Jim Crow laws, and there is nothing that makes sense scientifically or in any way that someone's color of someone's skin would prevent them from sharing a bathroom or a locker room with someone else. But when it comes to biology, there are true biological differences that would make it difficult, challenging, and sometimes wrong to share an intimate space like a locker room. So to use Jim Crow laws, which were supported by the Southern Democrats, as an example for why this is a wrong-headed proposition, I think is very, very disingenuous. And I have a lot of Black friends who would be completely angry with you for making that comparison.
No. To be fair, I mentioned no political party, nor did I equate this with segregation. But I was asking a question about progressive law, and that is how I answered it. If you interpret it differently, I'm very sorry.
All right. Let's move on to another caller. Talia is calling, and sounds like maybe on the same issue. Talia?
Hi, my name is Talia, and I'm calling because I agree with Pastor that everyone should feel comfortable and safe in the environment that they're in. Where I disagree is on, it's actually a multitude of different things, one being a civil rights issue. I am myself a Black female. I do not see this as a civil rights issue. To me, Prop 1, a yes on Prop 1 is more about the protection of young women and children, because I've already looked at myself at a couple of different incidences where they have allowed people to use the restrooms of which they identify with. And there's been separate cases where I see young girls being attacked. Recently in Chicago, an 8-year-old girl was attacked when a man came in the bathroom. Obviously, blatantly a man, but nothing was said because, again, people don't want to be labeled as bigots or discriminating. And this gentleman actually attacked this young 8-year-old girl. There was also another incident over in Washington where a man waited in the bathroom and put a bag over a young woman's head. So if someone is obviously transitioning and they go into a bathroom, like Kim was saying, I don't think there's going to be a bathroom policeman enforcing checking their genitals to make sure that they actually are what they are. Some of the people who said they are transitioning said they don't want to feel uncomfortable using the restroom that they were biologically born with, as it would also make other women feel uncomfortable. In cases like that, they should absolutely use the restroom.
Okay, thanks, Talia. Let's let our panel respond to that. You've made several points. Pastor Martin, do you want to take that one?
Thank you for your call, Talia. First of all, those are horrific instances, and our thoughts and prayers go out, obviously, with those people. But let's be clear, that's rape. That's sexual violence. We're here talking about transgender people. Both of those instances were not done by transgender people. In fact, the Washington instance, that person rejected any attempt to connect her to a similar bill as such as Prop 1, because it was simply rape. The bathroom happened to be the place where that rape happened. That's not what we're taught. We already have laws against that.
All right. Kim, did you want to weigh in on that?
Well,
we just have a little bit of time left.
I absolutely agree. We already have laws against sexual violence. Unfortunately, that doesn't prevent sexual violence. all the time. And so our laws, I mean, somebody's policies have to prevail, and our laws need to protect the most number of people. So the problem with AO96, the reason a yes on one vote is needed, is that we've opened up a Pandora's box where now the law muzzles concerned people or people that might have a sense of unease, because the law now protects men entering intimate spaces where women have traditionally felt safe and like they were the only ones there. So it's not transgendered that we're worried about. We're worried about the loophole and the Pandora's box of access. And so the fact that sexual violence is already illegal, that's cold comfort to the person who was hurt or made to feel uncomfortable in an intimate space, because the law now provides greater access to men where women are taking their clothes off.
And let's see if we can take one more call before we're done. This is Donna who's calling. It's been waiting, I think, for almost the entire show. Donna?
Hi. I guess I'm confused because I hear Ms. Minery talk about this as not a as not something that will address rape, that we already have laws on the books, but in fact that it's necessary. Yet our police department has said there have been no upticks in public safety incidents since we passed the bill 2 years ago, our Anchorage law. So since we now protect our transgender neighbors, for the past 2 years there have been no uptick in public safety incidents as a result. Why do we need Prop 1? If there's a problem with locker rooms...
I got your question, Donna. It's a great question. Since we're short on time, let me have Kim answer that question.
Well, again, this isn't just about safety. 2 years as opposed to 100 years of not having the law, I guess, you know, one could argue were there problems for transgendered in the 100 years when we didn't have this law? You know, I don't know what 2 years proves, but I would respond in this way. Safety is one aspect. Privacy and dignity and feeling comfortable. Alaska has the highest rates of domestic violence and of sexual assault. Do you know that for a woman who's been sexually assaulted, just seeing a man, a biological male with a penis in her locker room or changing room, is a trauma and a trigger for that female?
And
so we're not talking about just rape or with safety.
And I thank you very much for being here. I think that we are just out of time. And it was a very quick hour, a lot to discuss. We have to vote on this starting in another week. And so I thank both of my guests, Kim Minery, who's a sponsor of Proposition 1 and with Protect Our Privacy, Pastor Martin Eldred with Joy Lutheran Church and was representing Fair Anchorage, and all the many, many callers and emailers who we didn't get to. I hope that something close to your point of view got represented on the show. My name is Charles Walforth. Our producer is Dave Waldron. Thanks for Eric Bork, screening calls. And we will be back again next week with a show on the MLMP sale.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.